This is a tough scripture, all the way around, top to bottom. Cutting off hands, cutting off feet, pulling out your eyes, all of that's hard scripture. You know, just when I think nothing can divide our world anymore, something happens, and that's exactly what happens. It gets worse and worse. I don't know exactly when it starts getting that way in our lives, but clearly all those things we learn in kindergarten about how to treat one another at some point in time go out the window. You're probably familiar with the book that Robert Fulghum wrote about everything I know I learned in kindergarten. He states these things: in kindergarten, I learned to share everything, to play fair. Don't hit people. Put things back where you found them. Clean up your own mess. Don't take things that aren't yours. Say you're sorry when you hurt somebody. Wash your hands before you eat. Flush. Warm cookies and cold milk are good for you. Live a balanced life. Learn some, drink some, draw some, paint some, sing and dance and play and work every day some. Take a nap every afternoon. Can I get an amen about that? Yeah. When you go out into the world, watch out for traffic and hold hands and stick together. Be aware of wonder. Remember the little seed in the styrofoam cup. The roots go down and the plants go up, and nobody really knows how or why, but we're all like that. Goldfish and hamsters and white mice and even the little seed in the styrofoam cup, they all die, and so do we. And then remember that Dick and Jane books and the first word you learned, the biggest word of all, is look. Man, if we could just remember those things throughout our life, wouldn't life be a little bit different? Amen. Especially that part about holding hands and sticking together. Just like Kevin talked about today, the strong cord. There's even scripture that says a three-corded rope cannot easily be broken. It seems the disciples, the ones following Jesus at that time, had forgotten some of the basics. They're functioning under the belief that if you want to do good, at least in God's name, then you have to earn your stripes. One of the first things I find really interesting, when the disciples come back to Jesus, and they say, this man is casting out demons in your name. In your name, Jesus, they're casting out demons. And then he follows that up by saying, they're not following us. It's interesting that change there. You see what he did? At first he's upset because this guy that we don't know anything about is casting out demons in Jesus' name. But then quickly turns to themselves. He's not even following us. They've quickly become, if you're not with us, then you're wrong. Have you felt a little of that recently in our world? And if I'm going to be honest with you, I've dished it out myself. A few weeks ago, going back to my cousin's funeral and being in this church, this small church that actually my father helped build the sanctuary. And I was in this church where I can't even be considered a minister because I'm a female. And then last week, going back again for my nephew's wedding, the church I grew up in, actually the minister there, he and I grew up in the youth department together. And some of the things that he said during that wedding, I literally just squeezed Roy's hand to try to keep my cool. And I thought about those two times as I read this scripture. And you know, we obviously worship the same God at all three of these churches. We worship the same God. I believe that each person gets to interpret the scripture for themselves, and that's one of the reasons that I'm a Baptist. But deep down, I think the way I interpret the scripture is the right way. And frankly, I wish everyone else would get on board with me. Now, don't leave me hanging out here. Can I get an amen on that? I'm not proud of it, but it's true. And even though we know every person has to come at this their own way, and we have to allow everyone to be different from our own way, it's still hard. We sing these very beautiful words every Sunday morning. They were written for us. The tune is called Highland, and we sing it every Sunday morning. All are welcome here. And we sing that because we think it's important that every person should feel comfortable walking into this place. And yet I think if we're honest, we might be uncomfortable if certain people came in here. We might be uncomfortable if someone came in who didn't want a woman as a pastor. We might be uncomfortable if someone came in who didn't like the liturgical calendar, or we might be uncomfortable if someone came in that didn't like teal carpet. I could go on and on, but we tend to migrate to people who at least believe similar to us. And if I'm honest, I think it is important to find places where we fit. For example, if I had a daughter, I wouldn't want to take her to a church that believed that women couldn't hear God's call. I wouldn't want to. That would be very difficult. I think it is very important that we find places where we fit. Find places where we're free to ask questions, to grow, and to change. So theology and being with people that you feel open with is important. But with the disciples, they weren't comfortable with people who weren't a part of their group. John really thought Jesus was going to give him a good slap on the back and say, good going for trying to stop him. But Jesus responds completely opposite of what John expects. Jesus goes from the powerful thing of casting out demons to the very simple act of giving a cup of water. And saying that giving a cup of water in my name is powerful. Think about that for a minute. If any of you can just give someone a cup of water, that shows the kind of love that Jesus wants us to share. Most scholars agree that Mark is retelling this story from Jesus' ministry because there's some polarization in the church. Mark needs his people to look at how their lives and how their commitments and how their actions, how their identity, how they all make up the community of Christians. Things have not changed a whole lot, have they? not in the church. We've not escaped the polarization of the early church. As a matter of fact, it's difficult to find churches today who don't align themselves one way or the other with society and political views. Unfortunately, we hear it all the time. You can't be a Christian if you believe this or if you believe that, or you must not be a Christian if you voted for them or for them. You fill in the blanks. We draw the lines all the time. I admit Thursday I spent a lot of time. I kept finding myself clicking over to listen to parts of the Senate hearing. I felt such a sickness in my stomach, in my heart, at what our world has come to. We are so divided and we're so angry, and we can't even sit and listen to two people's stories and set politics aside and hear them. One person was all it would take to stand up and say, "Can we stop?" Now, before anyone starts getting angry with me, I agree that it's very important for every one of us to be involved in politics in our world. I think God wants us to be involved. I think God wants us to use our voices and thoughts and to speak up for those whose voices can't be heard. I have my own personal opinions about what's going on in our politics, but this isn't the place for that. And aligning with any group over what is right is not what Jesus wants for us. He wanted us to stop. He wanted us to think. He wanted us to love. He wanted us to share. Simply, if any of you, and that means you or I, if any of you can do good in Jesus' name, then Jesus is not soon forgotten. When I think Mark's story is helping us, what I think Mark's story is helping us look at is where we align ourselves. Like the disciples and like their group, do we let the groups that we're with define us? Or do we let our actions show that we are Christians? That's what saddened me Thursday. But Friday, I saw hope. Friday, I saw hope when one person was brave enough to stand up and say, "I don't care. I don't care what side I'm aligned with. I want us to stop. I want us to listen. And I want us to make the right decision." That gave me hope. That gave me hope. When did we get to a point in our world when offering someone a simple cup of water has to come with strings? Perhaps there's a chance that things in our world can change. Jesus spoke the words, "If any of you." Jesus didn't need any affiliation except believe in him. Be for him, not against him. Jesus didn't need anyone to spout off their theological practices. Jesus said, "Any of you, give a cup of water, help a child, cast out a demon, show love." That's what we need, show love. May we be willing to live our lives doing good in the name of Jesus. And Jesus will not soon be forgotten. Amen.